look at a man in Baptist history this morning. Speaking about Eliezer Clay is the man's name, and he's one of those unusual men that was prepared for hard times. And he was born in Virginia in 1744. When he was 14, imagine this, he enlisted in the army of King George II and fought in the French and Indian War. Imagine your 14-year-old going off to war, or you as a 14-year-old going off to war. In God's providence, he moved to Chesterfield County, Virginia. He was married there, and it was here that he came under great conviction of sin from the preaching of several men, but especially John Weatherford. And I don't know if you remember that name, but John Weatherford is the pastor that was jailed, and he preached through the prison grates, and as he did, those men would slash his hands, so you know the blood, when he died, his hands and arms were, you know, just scarred tremendously from that persecution. And that really spoke to him. He saw how that man was treated. God used that to convict his heart, and he was saved in August of 1771. He immediately was baptized, became a member of the Baptist Church there, and was soon preaching the gospel. Now, Eliezer Clay, he was very successful in business before he became saved, and he had considerable wealth and influence in society. The Baptists, as you know, were held almost in, you know, universal contempt, but he was determined to identify with them, and God had saved him, and he, in spite of what people thought would, you know, hurt his influence, he didn't care. He joined the church there and was baptized and joined the church. He had a lot of opponents, but they were afraid of him because he was a man of dauntless spirit, among other things. Once Colonel Carey, who was the magistrate of the county, and he was the Baptist nemesis. He was an enemy of the Baptists. He was arresting them, throwing them in jail, and they asked him why he left Pastor Clay unmolested and arrested others for preaching, but not Pastor Clay. And the colonel replied, "Mr. Clay has a livelihood, but these others were taken under a vagrant law." So that was his excuse, although they say that he was really afraid of him. That livelihood is true. He was probably the richest preacher in Virginia. He used his wealth to, he actually built his own church building, the church that he would pastor for 60 years. He helped other pastors in the area, and did great work with the money that God had allowed him to make prior to him being saved. He wasn't without enemies. Once he was preaching in a private home, and a man rode up and asked if Clay was there, and he was told that Elder Clay was in the house preaching. This man said, "I have come to cowhide him." He was angry about something, and they reported this to the preacher, and the preacher said, "I am the son of Charles Clay, and I fear no man. If I have to go out after him, I will give him one of the worst whippings he's ever had in his life." And when he went out to see the man was gone. So he got that message. So this is a man that was just, as was said, a man of a dauntless spirit. He continued as pastor for, as I said, over 60 years. The church he had planted there in Chesterfield, it was the first Baptist church in Chesterfield that was ever begun. He loved God's word. They report in his biography that he read the New Testament once every month, and large portions of the Old Testament. But it was very important to him to read the New Testament every month. He had a long life and went to heaven in his 92nd year. As I did the research for this, I ran across a letter, and I'm always interested in the man's own words and how they thought back then. And so I think it's always interesting. I want to read you a letter that he wrote to Isaac Backus, who is the great Baptist leader in Massachusetts, if you remember, that is responsible for many things, but the religious freedom that they have in Massachusetts at that time. And he said, "In the church where I serve," he wrote him, he said, "in the church," they were good friends, he said, "in the church where I serve, we have a great calm. Are not such times more to be desired than that, than when the billows are breaking over our heads? Or has not God sent one over against the other, that we may learn to fear him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will? In some portions of our district, God has granted precious revivals, to wit, in the churches of Brother Sanders and Brother Flowers. Other ingatherings are small. Iniquity abounds, deism prevails, and the spirit of the world comes in like a flood on every side. God has at last touched the hearts of our rulers, and they have listened to our memorial, doing away all we asked for, so that all the clouds which threatened religious liberty with us are blown over. The Lord grant that neither we nor our posterity may forget his favors bestowed so freely on us. From your history, you were not then free from the land of power. May God grant your request after all your toils and an abundant entrance laid into heavenly kingdom is the prayer of your unworthy friend and Christ's servant in the gospel. And I just think it's interesting to hear, you know, not just how they talk, but the things that concern them and the things that are important to these pastors at this very early time in our nation's history. Eliezer Clay was never imprisoned. His brother, John Clay, was. He served many times in jail for preaching. John established Black Creek Baptist Church in Hanover County, and he died when he was comparatively young man. Clay gave two outstanding sons to our nation. Porter Clay was a prominent preacher in Kentucky. And then, of course, a name which you will know, the Honorable Henry Clay, who was a great Christian statesman. He was a three-time senator from Kentucky, ran for president three times, lost all three times, but great statesman. And these were two of his sons. I just think that would God grant us these courageous and the courageous and tough leadership that we see in these old saints in the early parts of our country, early days of our country. And I want to thank the Lord for Eliezer Clay and his testimony.